It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester on this Wednesday, on this Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. And we are ready to come at you live here. Have some fun on the program. All kinds of good stuff. All kinds of football talk. All kinds of college basketball talk for you today. It is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. If you're watching our video streams, Paul and I just don't miss with these fits. We just keep bringing it on these. It can be freezing cold. First freeze since March of last year. And we'll keep the tradition alive. I'm not sure if Max Power got in on the fun here today.
No, but he's got a colorful, very, very colorful sweatshirt on. And by the way, you notice I'm wearing it a little different because, see, this is how you free up with Hawaiian Wednesday. You know, doesn't have to be a balmy 86 degrees outside. Look, I've got long sleeve, little sweatshirt underneath. I've unbuttoned it for the day. There's no rules in our rule book that says you got to button, so it's unbuttoned. I'm going to have some combinations in the future with my Hawaiian shirt that, you know, I just want everybody to understand this is a fashion statement. And if nothing else, you and I are, we're clothes hounds. You know, that's what we are.
Yep, yeah, I don't know what a clothes hound is, but we got that swag. You know, that's just how we roll. But, you know, we hope everybody out there is having fun, even with the cold weather. Right. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming for you today. You can get in touch with the program on the IHOP hotline. That'll be open for you until about the bottom of the hour, 869-1240. It is brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. We'll give away some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. It'll be the final day for that giveaway. We'll give away some HTO as well. All kinds of good stuff coming for you. We're excited about it. Sri Islata, our KU insider, joins us bottom of the hour. We will look ahead, see if we think KU football can pick up its first win of the season. We'll also spend probably even more time with college hoops as KU is preseason number one. Big 12, historically good, according to that AP Top 25 poll. So we'll get into all of those things as well. Working on a few other things for you on the show as well. Should be fun. Paul, glad to be here with you. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm doing fine. By the way, later in the show, I got to tell a little story about HTO water. Is that okay with you if I do that later? And it's a fascinating story, and it's really cool.
Yeah, we'll do it when we're we're giving away some HTO later in the program.
Attaboy, good for you.
Stay tuned for your opportunities to win that. So it was a big news day yesterday. We had the NFL in a trade frenzy, some blockbuster trades. So we'll go over that, and we'll really look at the Chiefs, though, as it pertains to them. Two of the teams that could be competitive with them, trying to get to a Super Bowl, make big moves. Do the Chiefs need to follow? We'll have that. We'll have all this college hoops talk as well and a few other storylines as we make our way through. But let's start there, Paul. So the morning started for us with the Devontae Adams trade. Literally happened right as we came on the air. And I think before we got off the air, right before Amari Cooper was traded. So Adams to the Jets, that one obviously makes sense for all the reasons. The Jets don't, you know, I think they probably made it a week too late. I don't think it's too late to try it. And they're obviously all in on this season. The Bills are a little bit more interesting. I don't think they're necessarily all in on this season over any other, but they needed help at the position. Amari Cooper's not doing the Browns any good right now. They're terrible at quarterback. They're not going to do anything with Deshaun Watson. So they get a decent return, honestly. Both teams get pretty good returns. I don't think either team overpaid. What did you think of those two moves? And did you agree, disagree, anything jump out to you? I agree. I think they were good moves for both teams.
I agree with you on that. There's no question about that. You know, one of the little side observations, I thought to myself, how would you like to be a Cleveland Brown fans right now? I mean, I don't think I'd like it very much. Basically, what the Cleveland Browns have said, we're done with this quarterback. I think we're done with this season. I don't think that anything good is going to happen. And they're probably right. It may not, but I don't think it will. But I didn't want to be a Browns fan yesterday. But with regards to the trades, listen, there's still hope for the Jets. I think the Jets are thinking to themselves, we need to do something. We've got to do something. We've got to do something for this team that gives us a chance to be a little more explosive. And when you make the case that the Jets are going to sign a receiver that has worked with their go-to quarterback, their Hall of Famer in waiting, and you look at the way they're handling this, I think they're saying we're all in right now. Right now, I don't care how old Rodgers is. I want to bring Devontae Adams in, and we're going to make this season work. I kind of respect that. And you want to know something? I think that can work because with a quarterback, it can work. And with a quarterback of the experience and the abilities that you have in Aaron Rodgers, can't this work? Because I think it can. I think this was the trade. I think it was a little bigger than Amari Cooper going to the Bills. But because the Bills are still a good, solid football team. I mean,
well, I agree, but the Jets should have beat the Bills on Monday night.
Well, they should have. Should have, would have, could have. Could have, should have.
No, I know. I only say that to say I agree with you. And the Jets, when you fire Saleh and you bring Rodgers in to begin with, all your chips are on the table.
They are. They've done it.
And so I actually think that they're going, I the decision to bring Rodgers there, will evaluate that further down the road. But with everything that's happening, like, you don't have a choice. And I applaud them for being aggressive and continuing to follow up on that decision. You know, for instance, the Cowboys, who Jerry Jones was also in the news yesterday. Yes, we can get into that later.
Oh boy.
They're doing the opposite. That's why I think people are so frustrated, especially Cowboy fans. So the Jets say they're all in, and they're literally all in. They fired their coach. They're going to make a big trade to bring in Devontae Adams. Like, they're going all in. The Cowboys, meanwhile, they kind of piddle fart around, you know, maybe we'll sign our best player, CeeDee Lamb. We're all in, but maybe we'll sign CeeDee Lamb. We'll sign Dak. We won't bring anybody else in the offseason. We'll bring back the same coach who, you know, criminally underperforms in big moments for this team. But, yeah, you know, we're all in. And then we get mad when people, you know, challenge us about being all in. The Jets said they're all in, basically, and they're all in. And whether it works or it doesn't, at least they're trying, right?
Yeah.
I think the Bills are not in that same situation. The Bills aren't in some all in, it's all right now or nothing. They've got Josh Allen. They'll be in every year he's the quarterback, most likely. And so that's kind of how they came into this season. And I think, you know, I think they're more in than probably a lot of naysayers thought. I actually still believed in them, but I think they've got a chance to still be a good team. Mm-hmm. Now they bring in Amari Cooper. Does that make them a contender again? I don't think they ever were not a contender, but I think even if you thought that, it certainly does, because essentially you're swapping out Amari Cooper for Steph Diggs, and now the offense is that, and I think that's a pretty fair swap.
Mm, yeah.
So I and in a divisional race, and I don't know how much of it was reactionary to the Jets getting Adams, you just saw the Jets in a game, Paul, where everybody watching knows the Jets probably should have won that game. The Bills know that too. So you just saw that team, who you're going to be in a fight with the rest of the way in your division, make that move. I think that makes it even better to say, you know what? We got a chance to bring Cooper in here. We don't want the Jets catching us. Let's go ahead and make that move. Cooper comes in. I don't think it costs too much. And he's a talented receiver. So we get both of those teams making moves. And look, the Jets, you know, the Jets and the Steelers play this weekend. I kind of like the Jets in that game.
Right.
And they get the Patriots. They have the Cardinals on the schedule. They have the Colts on the schedule. The Dolphins, the Jags, the Rams, the Dolphins again, the Bills again. I think that the Jets, even though it has not gone all their way, and boy, they're going to look back at that Broncos loss and really hate it, but they've got a chance here to still make the postseason. And at this point, that's all they want to do. You want the postseason. You want Rodgers. Now he has... I mean, as far as skill players go, there probably aren't a lot of teams more loaded at this point now with Adams and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall than the Jets are. Mm. I mean, that's as good a top, you know, a top two receiver running back combination as the league has probably.
Right.
And so you like it. And the Bills, you know, they're just, they get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. They get a little bit better. And yep, that may be enough with the Chiefs hobbled and wounded. That brings us into the next question, Paul. And let's pause here and we'll bring this back on the other side of the break.
All right.
So now the Chiefs sit here and they have seen two teams below them in the AFC get at least a little bit closer to them. Mm-hmm. Does that intensify their need to do anything now at the wide receiver position? We'll hold that thought. We'll come back. We'll discuss. You can discuss with us at 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream where Jason leaves a comment about upside down pineapples on the Hawaiian shirts. I let everybody know last week that I learned that I have been wearing a shirt chock full of symbolism for years and years now that I did not realize. I did not realize what the upside down pineapple meant. I'd been misrepresenting myself to a lot of people over the years. But no, not today. I think I only have that one shirt, Jason. And if you don't know what the upside down pineapple represents, you can go back and listen to last week's show on the Odyssey app, or you can just look it up. But it has been a misrepresentation for me. We'll leave it at that. But your calls, your comments, all welcome here on the program. Glad to be here with you on this Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We'll have Shreya Slada coming up at the bottom of the hour. May have another guest. We're working on that for you coming at the top of the next hour. But a lot of good stuff coming. Max Power producing. It's all Brockton Savage at Sports Daily. We'll be right back.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here with you on this Wednesday, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Glad to be with you. So we set it up there in the first segment. Massive moves made to two AFC, we'll call them contenders. I think I'll call the Jets still a contender. I thought that was their best-looking offensive performance against the Bills, even in that loss. Again, they probably should have won. The Bills are certainly contenders when they have Josh Allen. The Chiefs are the top dog right now, and they're hobbled. They have injury after injury after injury, and it hasn't affected them. They're still unbeaten. They're not in any danger of missing the playoffs. But the question becomes, Paul, do they need to do anything to sort of not allow the other teams to make up any of that ground with the moves they just made? They were already going to be making calls on a wide receiver. I think a couple of interesting things have happened. In the last game that they played, Juju Smith-Schuster looked awesome. And what's interesting about that is Juju Smith-Schuster does fill the Rashi Rice role. Like, they, you know, he did that before they drafted Rice, and Rice did it better. But Juju has done that for this team in the past. And remember, they also lost Hollywood Brown. They've got Xavier Worthy. Do they need to? And there are going to be big name receivers, I think, still on the move. The question becomes, do the Chiefs need to go get one? We can attack it two ways. Will they and do they need to? I think they don't necessarily need to, Paul, but I think that they should at least try. Because, and I'll say the same thing, Rice misses this year. Rice is going to probably miss at least half of next year, too. And Hollywood Brown was kind of a one-year deal. If they can go find a receiver that gives them multiple years or they're able to, you know, trade and then sign, it does potentially solve a problem now and next year when I think they're still going to be without Rashi Rice for a while, because at that point he should be serving his suspension. So I would say, yes, I think they should make a move. But I said that even before the trades yesterday. I don't think that adds to me like any intensity or pressure to do it, but I still think they should.
I think Kansas City has answered that question for you. And there's a certain fact that I think we can all see. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but that is Kelce's being used a little differently than he's been used in the past. He's not that go-to guy. He's not that guy that is is the one dependable guy. I mean, he's dependable, but I mean, he's not that one. If you need a first down, you go to Kelce. He's not being used that way. And that tells me one thing, and that is that you've got to be better than you've been at wide receiver. So I guess in a roundabout way, I'm saying, yes, you've got to get better at receiver. I wouldn't mind to see the Chiefs, you know, if they're going to improve, do something with receivers. Obviously, there's some things that I think this team can improve on, and that might allow Kelce to get a few more catches here and there and become that player that he has been in his prime. Maybe that's the fact that he just turned 35 has something to do with it. I don't know. But your question is, should the Chiefs do something? Yeah, I'd kind of like to see them do something. Do they need to give away the store to do it? No, they don't need to do that. But there's always good receivers in the NFL. All these guys, most of these guys that they're looking at could be an upgrade. I'm not saying they will be, but I would certainly look at it if I was the Chiefs. I wouldn't sit on anything if I were the Kansas City Chiefs. Would you?
No, well, no.
Well,
no,
I mean, yes, I know what you mean. I know what you were about to say.
I don't want them to overpay. So it's weird in the NFL. You know, like this year, we've seen this shift now where running backs are being valued high. They're having a bigger impact. And, you know, receivers seem to be more of a, I want to say a dime a dozen, but there are more of them. So here's what I don't think the Chiefs need to do. Put themselves in a situation where they're paying a bunch of money, a bunch of their salary cap to a wide receiver. That I would not do.
Well, I didn't say that.
What I would do, though, is not be afraid to trade draft capital for a receiver. So, you know, like the Chiefs have made it pretty clear with Tyreek Hill and, you know, they don't want to pay a receiver. They don't want to pay a big time receiver, that kind of contract. That's not how they want to construct their salary. They're more concerned with obviously Mahomes, and they're more concerned with their offensive and defensive lines. And so, and I agree with that, by the way.
I do too.
I think Mahomes helps raise everybody up. What's been remarkable about this season to me is, despite all these injuries, they are still finding a way to be effective. That was their best offensive game last week. Their first game that they played without, you know, all of their weapons, basically. I guess it wasn't their first, but you know what I mean. And so I don't think that means they don't try to get better. Of course they do. But I still don't think they changed the philosophy of, we don't want to invest a bunch of our salary cap into wide receiver. So I think they can still get better. I think they can do it and avoid the hit on the cap that they've always wanted to avoid. And then I think they can just move on with their lives. This week's game will tell us a lot. You know, they get to play the 49ers. They're not going to make a move that'll be before then. The trade deadline, let me just make sure I have the date right, is November 5th. So that would be right after the final game of week 9. We are entering week 7 right now. So they still have a little time to evaluate. They weren't going to get Devontae Adams anyway, probably not going to get Amari Cooper, although that one's interesting to think about. So they've got some time to evaluate it. And I think we'll know if in week 9, the offense chugs and looks as good as it did the last time we saw it, then maybe they don't need to go get anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they do have enough. Maybe Juju does fill the void and he's consistent. That's what I would evaluate as much as anything else, mm-hmm. is Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. But you also got to remember, Paul, depth matters. And what if Juju, who's older, gets hurt? Then what do you do?
Right.
Right. Do they feel good? So, you know, even if it's just a smaller depth piece, I saw, and Tommy sent this to me yesterday, and and he's not the first person, 3 or 4 people asked me this. What about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who the Bills cut to make room? And I would say I think that makes no sense for the Chiefs to bring him back. I know they love the reunion tour, but he was good for one thing, a deep ball. And he wasn't that good at it. And now they have Xavier Worthy. I would not bring back MVS. I don't think stylistically that's what they need at all. Mm-hmm. They need to go find somebody that can fill that target hog role. Now, even if Juju's that guy, what happens if he gets hurt? Mm-hmm. I think you have to have a backup plan there. You have to have somebody in place that Mahomes can pepper with targets if he needs to within a game that's not a tight end.
Right. And, of course, Mahomes is your key here. I mean, Mahomes elevates all around him, everyone around him. He makes them better. So some of the guys that you might think to yourself, well, would they be a good addition to the Browns? Probably not, but they might be a good addition to the Chiefs because there's certain things that Mahomes brings to this team, and one of them is elevating those around him. By the way, I loved your comment with regards to running backs. You're exactly right with running backs. And by the way, every running back that is going to sign a contract for rest of the year or for next year can thank Derrick Henry for that. You can thank him because
it's the way that offenses are operating now.
But I mean,
it's just Derrick Henry. Look at the way defenses are playing.
That's
right. The natural ebbs and flows of the NFL. Now everyone's going too high safety. Oh, okay. Well, we'll run the ball again.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel the change, and you are too. You're starting to see that high safety, run the ball, bring the safety down into the box, closer into the box.
Throw the ball again.
Throw the ball over the defense. Sure, that's just
the Chiefs have always been at the forefront of this, Paul, since the Tampa Bay Super Bowl loss. That was the first time we saw the deep safeties, and it gave Mahomes fits. They began to adjust the next year. You know, I don't know if all teams then started, but we saw last year defenses pretty universally started to do that. And then at the beginning of this year with the suppressed quarterback numbers, well, teams are starting to run the ball. And what are we seeing now? The reaction, all of a sudden quarterbacks numbers are getting better because defense have to try to stop the run again.
Right. Right.
I mean, the NFL's always been that way.
Well, it's and of course the nature of football, as we've talked in the past, the nature of football is to run the football. If you can run the football, you can do a lot of things. If you just throw the football, you're limited to a certain amount of things that you can do on a football field. But if you can run the football, you can do anything. You can throw the football. You can run the football. You can do whatever you want to do with the football. If you can run the football and run it with success. So anyway, I love that comment because you're exactly right. Shows an insight into the actual game that I appreciate. But with that being said, the Kansas City Chiefs are that team that is looking to tweak things. I mean, you know, you're right now you're undefeated. Now, granted, I know a lot of those wins were close. A lot of those wins were by a single point. A lot of those games could have come down to whoever had the ball last. A couple of those games, that's just the way it was. But that's what great football teams do, isn't it?
And it's further reason not to sit on your hands.
That's right.
Like, don't – you have that advantage now. Don't lose that advantage.
Right. But
right? Don't lose that razor-thin edge.
But we never know. And when I say we, I mean any NFL football franchise never knows who's going to get hurt. Who's going to be able to play next week? You never
100%. That's why I think even if Juju over the next 2 weeks proves to be that guy, which I think is a pretty good possibility, actually.
Right.
Then at that point, you still need something to provide depth because he's an older player and guys are getting hurt right and left. So, you know, it's almost more about that than anything else to me. Well, what about if Juju gets hurt? Then what do they do? Right. And that might be like, well, my gosh, you know, but that's the reality of football
now.
Well, and it's been the reality of this Chiefs season.
Yeah.
So, and they're not going to sit on their hands. Yeah. They're not. There's no chance. They're not looking to make moves now, especially after yesterday.
Yeah.
There's no chance. The market was just set for them. You know, the market was just set. Now they know they can go get a frontline receiver for a second round pick. Now, don't count that out either, right? Don't count that out either. 869-1240. We'll get more into this, but not today. That's all right. We've got KU football talk, KU basketball talk coming with Shreya Slada here in this segment. And just a quick programming note, joining us at the top of the next hour, Corey Washington, Shocker basketball player. So just confirm that. We'll get him on the line and get him into the show. Looking forward to that conversation. Want to say thank you to Prayer Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH, primed and ready to go. We'll give away still some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets and some HTO as well over the next hour and change. Shreyas, welcome in. How are you this morning?
Good. Cold. And that is why I'm not wearing a Hawaiian shirt today. I woke up, looked at it. It was 34 degrees. I was like, Jesus, I should probably turn off the AC.
Yeah.
And switch to heat because it's getting that time of the year.
I just had our guy, our tech to do the heater checks and all that stuff. So I guess it is that time. We had to flip ours on two nights ago. We finally caved and put it on. Okay. Let's start with football. And we do want to talk college hoops just real quick because I don't even know how much people are interested in this one. KU is a 6.5-point favorite at home against Houston. I'm pretty surprised by that. But you can't win your first until you win your first. So, you know, how do you feel about this one against Houston? How does this one line up for you?
Well, I think, you know, you look at this game and you look at the way Houston is. They just benched their quarterback against TCU and they started a backup. And he did a decent job, put up 150 yards passing and 90 yards on the ground. You know, there's a little uncertainty on what you're going to see from the Houston offense. They're struggling all year offensively, only averaging about 13 points per game. And I look at the schedule, and honestly, if KU doesn't win this game, I don't know where they win the rest of the year. We've gotten to that point, and just because the rest of the schedule is now to filled with teams that are in the top 25. You know, every point of that is an upset. So I think KU being 6.5-point favorites isn't super surprising, you know, because I don't think this Houston Cougars team is particularly good. But, you know, what we've seen from Kansas football so far isn't particularly good either. You know, I think I would give the edge to Kansas, but, you know, until, like you said, until they win, I can't sit there and tell you definitively that I believe in Kansas Jayhawks football because they haven't won a game in over a month.
I think, you know, in reality, it's more about until they close and finish a game. They should have a lot of wins this year that they don't have. I thought the last game was the best performance by Jalen Daniels, and you know, however you want to look at it, by Grimes. You know, I thought it was both of their best performances. It still wasn't enough to get the win, but have you had any feel or any indication that there has been progress and there may be a groove forming between those two in the offense?
Yeah, I think so. I talked to Lance Leipold about it Monday. I asked him in the press conference and it's like, hey, I think this was the best performance that Jalen has had all year. And Lance agreed. And he said, you know, he did a lot of the things that Jalen of the old did, you know, like we've seen that, you know, intermediate throw range where I've talked about a few times where he's excelled at through the years. He had a couple of really nice passes there. He had a nice couple of rollouts, I think, you know, where they gave him some space to kind of get up and kind of survey the field. Overall, I was really impressed with Jalen in a game where there's a lot to kind of be disappointed by if you're a KU fan. You know, I think, you know, obviously they didn't win the game, and you've talked about it, closing games is the biggest issue with this program, but you know, whatever way you win or lose at this point, you know, you're halfway through the season. I'm not going to make excuses for Kansas anymore because, you know, like they are what they are. Either they turn around a switch after this bye week or they're out of bowl contention after this week. So, you know, you're sitting at a very dangerous situation if you're the Jayhawks. And, you know, I think that 100% starts with getting right on Saturday with a Jalen Daniels performance similar to what it was 2 weeks ago.
I have a fear. I have a fear, and I'm going to tell you what that fear is. It's the what if. What or what happens if. What if KU loses to Houston? What happens with the fans? What happens with the players? What happens with the coaches? That's a big question, what if. This is Houston. You should win. But if you don't win, what happens to those three groups? Coaches, players, fans. What happens with them?
You know, I think it's a really good question, and I've been thinking about that. What happens if they lose Saturday? You know, because we're constantly asking ourselves what happens. I think, you know, fans are going to tune out. Basketball season starts in about 2 weeks. I think there's a lot of excitement around this team. Preseason, number one. You know, at the end of the day, this is a college basketball school, no matter what anyone tells you. You know, they get up for college basketball, and as they should. You know, the players, I think at that point, you know, it's, you know, what are they playing for? Anything besides pride. You're playing for pride at that point and just trying to turn the season around to a respectable margin. And the coaching staff, I don't expect any changes in you know, like the – immediate future. I think if they're going to make any changes, it would have been at the bye week, right? Kate Lance, typically, historically, if you look at his programs he's coached, he's not one to let go of his coaches. And if he does let go, it usually happens in the off season. So, you know, if they go out there and lose to Houston and don't win a game the rest of the year, yeah, I anticipate changes, but I think it would be at the end of the year, not midway through.
Shreyas, let's talk basketball. Football plays this weekend. It's all out there, 2:30. We'll see if they can get it done. Basketball is a much chippier topic right now. And Ken asks, and I think this is a good way to start, should the Jayhawks be ranked number one when they couldn't defend the three last year? They don't have a rim protector and they lost their best defender. So I think you can just start it that way. I think they should be ranked number one. in a preseason poll, which means less than ever just because we know the most about them of those teams. But how would you assess how they have addressed some of those big needs from last year? You know, the 3-point line on both sides, a rim protector. You know, even though McCullough's availability was a major issue, they do need to replace him as a defender out there.
You know, I think that conversation of whether they are ranked number one or ranked whatever in the poll, no offense to my other fellow writers that would on the AP poll, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I don't care about it. I don't think it matters. In the grand scheme of things, it's just another poll that you see at the end of the week because to see how the progress is. We have no idea how good these teams are until they play basketball. You know, I think on paper, Kansas has done a tremendous job of addressing the shooting concerns. They brought in AJ Storr, who can hoot it from deep. Shaquille Moore is a decent shooter. David Coit is a guy who shoots really well from deep. You know, they brought in a rim protector in Floyd Badinga. I was talking to a lot of his teammates at Media Day, and they were impressed. Ryland Griffin told me he might be the best rim protector he's seen in his time in college basketball. And this is a guy that played multiple games, he played 2 years at Alabama, including a team that had Brandon Miller and some other teams. You know, and on paper, this Kansas team is as locked and loaded as it's been in the 2 years that I've covered the beat. They are very deep. Obviously, it doesn't really matter because we said the same thing last year and we saw how it played out. I think on paper, this team looks to be more oriented or play a lot of different ways. And, you know, Bill Self talked about it on Media Day that one of the best things this team has is it's not one dimensional in the way they play. I think last year you knew clearly they can't shoot a three ball. And I looked at the numbers again last year. It was like opponents were shooting, I think, making 8 point something threes per game and Kansas was making 4.9. You can't win modern basketball games. At the end of the day, sometimes it's just a math equation. And, you know, I think the math equation favors KU this year more than other years because they went out there and they've reloaded the wagons, as Kansas fans would say. And I think they've gone out there and done a tremendous job of surrounding Hunter Dickinson and DeJuan Harris with, you know, shooters, surrounding them with guys who can go out there and score the ball, you know, from all different levels. And Zeke Mayo is another guy that I'm really excited to see. I mean, Self is kind of, you know, really lauded about his performance this summer, talked about how he's been the best player they've had for most of the summer. He's kind of fell off a little bit this past bit, but he said he's looked good overall. You know, this Kansas team looks to be much better than last year. Number one team in the country. I subscribe to the belief that I have no idea, but number two, you know, if I was voting the AP poll, I'd pick UConn just because they won the national championship, right? You know, I know they're reloaded or whatever, but until they lose in a devastating fashion,
it's impossible. It's impossible for us to follow the portal for every team. And no, I agree with you. It doesn't matter for KU. It doesn't matter for UConn. It matters for teams like Wichita State, who we follow, who, you know, those preseason expectations will be a factor into their non-con. But for KU, and it follows right into the Big 12 question. Historic. Five teams in the top 10 out of the Big 12. I think it's eight inside what would be the top 40. This league is ridiculous. It's like the SEC for football. But if you know, if you're KU, the chances to win the Big 12, like this conference is insanity. And you look at it and it's like, okay, are they going to put 10 Big 12 teams in this year? I mean, it's a bigger conference, so maybe they do. But I cannot wait for conference basketball. We've never seen anything like this.
It's a locked and loaded conference from top to bottom. I think, you know, even the bottom of the conference could probably be in the middle of the pack for a lot of other conferences. Oh, yeah. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, I think that's the best possible thing if you're a KU fan. You'll know within the first 10, 15 games where this KU's team at, where this KU team is overall, how they match up against some of the best teams in the country, in or out of the conference. And, you know, I think, remember last year, by January, if you were a KU fan or if you followed KU basketball at all, you kind of knew this team wasn't good enough to be making a deep run in March unless a lot of things went right. And I think that for this KU team, we'll know. We'll know because they play teams like UNC, they play Duke, you know, they're going to play Creighton. You know, they're going to play a lot of really good teams. And teams that are, you know, going to give them, I think, a fight in every game. I mean, Creighton, for God's sake, is favored against them, according to KenPom. I mean, that's a game to watch out for. And, you know, I just look at this KU team, and I think this could be the best team that I've covered in my 2 years ish on the beat. It'll be 2 years in November. We don't know that, right? Things change. People underperform or overperform. And I think the biggest thing is we need to figure out where they're at, just play style wise, maybe 5-10 games into the season.
You know, we live in a world where in college sports, football still is kind of like the king. And you see the SEC and you see the Big Ten trying to schedule their non-conference games with each other, basically trying to shut out the rest of the conferences in the country. They're scheduling between themselves, and there's an effort to do that. Does basketball, with the fact that you've got 5 or 6 teams in the top 10, 12, whatever it is, 5 really good teams in the top 10, I'll put it that way, in the Big 12, does that help keep the Big 12 in the hunt for, you know, college superiority on the football side? Because we all know, I hate to say this, football's king. It's going to be king. It's going to stay king. You know, the king is not dead. The king is alive and well in football. What does basketball do for the Big 12 to try to keep them in the hunt with regards to being those conferences that make a difference other than the Big 12, the Big 10 and the SEC? By the way, and when you look at the SEC, they're making an effort towards basketball with Arkansas offering their new head coach $13 million in NIL money for players alone. $13 million. Those kids are going to be millionaires before they leave the University of Arkansas. They're making a push. What about the Big 12 and the overall big picture of where we're at?
You know, I think that's a really good question, because we look at it, the national relevancy of the conference revolve around the Big 12 being the best basketball conference by far. The minute the Big 12 loses that, the minute that's, you know, I think it's over for the conference of relevancy. And I mean, like, we can clearly say right now the Big 12 is the best basketball conference and they're third in football. But the minute they're second and third, I think, you know, it's danger territory, because we're moving towards, you know, a super conference between those two conferences. And I'm a Georgia grad and a Georgia fan. I mean, like, they've put a lot more into basketball this past year than they have since the Tom Crean years. And, you know, like, I'm excited for this team that they might finish top half the conference or the bottom half as usual. And that's just one team. And I think the conference knows that there is some, both conferences know that, you know, football is king, and the Big 12 knows that too. And, but I think there's something to be said about having a conference that is so dominant in basketball. You know, I don't think there's any conference that really comes close in kind of the feel around it. You know, the only conference I think comes around the competitiveness aspect of it was the Big East. And I covered, you know, UConn for a year, and those rivalries kind of run deep because of all the, you know, religious ties and this and that. But, you know, the Big East has their own issues. They don't have a football. Most of those programs don't have football teams. So, no, I think the moment Big 12 squanders the lead that they have on basketball, then Brett Yormark and the rest of his, you know, ADs around the conference know they're in trouble. So I think as big as they can build that gap, they should build it. I think that's why they should have come out there and got Gonzaga. It doesn't matter if they would have helped them in any other sport, but being the best by far conference in basketball has some value to it. And I think it, as long as you can keep that, the Big 12 staves off the football is king super conference.
They're gonna separately negotiate the Big 12 basketball contract. Just wait, it's happening. The Pac-12 is doing the same thing. That's why they did get Gonzaga, and they're poaching. They're trying to position themselves as a basketball league too. It's going to happen in the next round. We're going to see separate contracts. I really do believe that. That's how you combat what's happening in football. Shreyas, we appreciate it. What do you guys have going for us at the Star this week?
Yeah, I'll probably have a story sometime later this week. I talked and sat down with Elmarco Jackson about his rehab process and talking about what he's been doing and what he's not been doing, and, you know, kind of what that looks like. Also, we'll have typical football coverage. We'll have my film breakdown with Carter Stanley about, you know, what Jalen Daniels did right against Arizona State. And, you know, it should be a fun week, a busy week. We've got Late Night in the Fog Friday, Houston, KU Saturday, and busy week overall. If you're a KU fan, a busy week for me.
Yeah. It'll be, maybe we can get that win. Boy, it'd be nice. Be nice to get a little buzz going before that Sunflower Showdown. Trias, you can follow his work at the Kansas City Star. Follow him on social media. We appreciate it. Thanks for being on. Next week, we'll see that Hawaiian, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Trias Lotta. On our way out, let's give away our Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. This will be your last chance here today. Thunder hockey back in the home opener versus Kansas City is on Friday, October 18th. KFH wants to hook you up with your opportunity to get that right now. Just text the keyword Thunder to the number 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets from KFH. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Corey Washington, new Shocker. They get a preseason ranking. We'll talk to him about our first opportunity to meet the new Shocker. We'll do that next on Sports Daily.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage with you on this Wednesday. Happy to be joined for the first time on Sports Daily by one of the new Shockers, Corey Washington. The Shockers have been all about retention in the league, but they're excited about Corey Washington coming in here out of St. Peter's. Corey, welcome into the show. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
We're excited to get you in here, and I know Shocker fans are excited to get to see you play for the first time. I guess first things first, as we get introduced and let you get introduced to Shocker fans out there, what have you thought so far? You've been on campus for a while. I'm sure you've been in Wichita for months now, going back to the summer. But what are your first impressions of the city, of the program, and everything about being a Shocker?
One thing that really stood out to me were really the people, how nice they were. Just coming in, not even knowing me and starting conversations. I mean, I really love things like that.
That's awesome. Let's talk about the basketball. You guys are preseason number four. That's great. That's improvement. But it may take number one to get into the NCAA tournament this year. You may have to win the league. What are you seeing right now? You're one of the guys coming in from the outside. What are you seeing that makes you think that Shocker basketball can get back to the top where we all think it belongs?
I would just say how relentless we are in practice, how hardworking we are. I mean, diving on the floor, just doing things that the normal person wouldn't do. I mean, those things are winning plays to me.
You know, Corey, it's you're an amazing individual. You know, you were really great at the high school level in Little Rock, Arkansas. Then you end up in St. Peter's in New Jersey. St. Peter's in New Jersey. How does a kid from Little Rock, Arkansas end up in New Jersey to go play college basketball?
I mean, it was all through connections, people that knew people. It just all came together.
So tell us about St. Peter's. We saw a little bit of St. Peter's, but I look at what you did in your 2 years there. And what stands out to me and what we know, what Shocker fans know, Wichita State needs and has needed is a scorer. Your freshman year, you played a lot of minutes your freshman year, but what stands out is how much more you shot, and particularly shot the three in your second year at St. Peter's. Why, I guess first, tell us why that happened. And then second, is that something that you plan to translate and grow on even more now at the, you know, at the next level of college basketball here in the American Athletic Conference?
Yes, sir. Just coming from just having confidence, really. That's all it was for me, getting in the gym, getting in the reps. That just gave me the confidence to play my game and to do what I do. And I feel like scoring is part of that.
You know, you're getting into the groove of shot, being a shot blocker. That's pretty cool. You go from not a ton of shot blocks in your freshman year to you really become a force as a sophomore. What role will blocking shots play for you? Are you coming into Wichita State and playing in the ACC with the mindset that, yes, you can become a force on defense with shot blocking? Is that kind of where you're headed towards? Or was that just one of those things that you thought you could do in the MAAC?
Not too much of just shot blocking, but defense in general. I feel like that's a big part of my game. So, I mean, if blocking shots come with that, then I'm happy to do it. But I just like playing defense and playing hard.
It's and we're glad you said that, because the Shockers kind of have that's sort of their reputation. The fans play angry, all of that stuff. How much about the history of Wichita State impacted your decision to come back here and try to get the program back to that level?
I would just say, talking to Coach Mills, we all spoke about just all being about the same thing, about playing angry, defense, playing in transition, playing fast, spacing. I mean, those all just were really attractive to me.
You know, when you look at the MAAC, it's a really good basketball league. You were the player of the week a few times. You got mentions with a second team for that particular league. How does the MAAC compare in your mind to the AAC? Is there a difference in stature? Is there a difference in the quality of players, a difference in the size of the players? What is the one thing that you look at between these two leagues and you go, wow, that's really different from where I've been?
It's definitely a size thing for me. It's definitely taller players, stronger players, but I mean, I wouldn't say it really affects me. I'm still going to play my game regardless.
Here's what we want you to tell us, Corey. are you ready to be a shot maker for this team? And I ask that because there are going to be shots to be had this year. We know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody wants it. You guys are competitive. Are you ready to be that for this team? And how much do you guys work on that, I guess, with Coach Mills? What do you see from that role? Do you see one or two of you guys stepping into that, or do you have any indication yet until you hit the floor in some games?
A thing that he also writes on a lot is, sharing the ball. So that means shots can come from whoever. We just have to be prepared enough and put enough work into knocking down the shots when they come, whoever that might be.
Talk a little about threes. You're certainly proficient. Last year at St. Peter's, you shot right around 33% with threes. Where do you want to be on this team? Where do you want to be at the success rate, and where do you want to be on the number of threes that you take for this basketball team at Wichita State?
I wouldn't have a number that I would say I would have to take, but for sure I want to definitely improve and get into the high 30s, starting around 35-36% three.
Yeah, and is that something that, you know, you're working on every day, or how do you do that? How do you jump 5-7% on that?
That just comes with being in the gym, getting the work in. I mean, me and the coaches work out every day, getting in the gym at night, anytime I really can.
Let's have some fun here, Corey. What you're in Wichita now, you're out of New Jersey. Tell us your favorite restaurant since you've been to Wichita.
That's a hard one.
I know. There's a lot of restaurants in Wichita.
A lot of places. I'll just stick with I like Duda's for breakfast.
It's all the Shockers say that, man. They must take really good care of you guys.
Well, you can't go wrong at Doodah's anyway. I mean, whether you're a Shocker or not, you can't go wrong there, can you?
You can't go wrong. Every single time.
I got you there. You know, one of the things about the city of Wichita is you'll find that the basketball players that play in this town are really looked up by kids. They really are. You're a role model. What what kind of pressure does it put on you to be that kind of guy? I mean, you're going to be a good basketball player, a great basketball player probably. There's no question about that. But there's also a lot of pressure for some kids with the fact that, you know, they've got to be that role model. There are a lot of kids that look up to the Shockers. You're going to be shocked when you walk around town and these little kids want to come up and say hi to you just because you're a Shocker. What pressure does that put on you?
I wouldn't say that causes any pressure, but I'm happy to be in this position. I mean, I was just that kid, you know, just trying to look up to the big guys, and especially because of what they're achieving and what they're doing. I mean, just glad to be in a position. Not really much pressure.
One more for you, Corey, here, and we really appreciate your time. Corey Washington, one of the new Shockers, joining us for the first time here on Sports Daily. What do you think will surprise fans the most in a positive way when we see your team, this team, take the floor for the first time?
I would say again, the fearlessness. Play very hard. They're all over the floor, all over the court, very fast pace. I mean, it's going to be shocking. No pun intended.
Shocking. Shocking's the right word for it. Pun intended. That's all right. We use it all the time. Corey, we appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on with the short notice here. We cannot wait for the season to start. It is just, you know, a couple of weeks away before the first time we get to see that exhibition. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to a return to glory for Shocker basketball. And we appreciate you joining us here on Sports Daily.
No problem. Thank you.
There goes Corey Washington. Paul, a lot of expectations. So the Shockers were picked fourth. And the AAC preseason. I think that's a positive sign.
Yeah.
I think that's good news.
Yeah, it certainly is a lot better than last year.
Certainly we want to see that, you know, surpassed. But it's sort of double-edged for me this year with the AAC. As the poll comes out, we didn't see any AAC teams in the top 25 this year. I can't remember a year where that's happened.
Well, that's partly
it means there's an opportunity there,
right,
probably.
Right.
But it also means you got to probably set expectations now. And this could change, and we hope it does. But you set your expectations now that it may be a one-bid league this year.
Right.
And if it's a one-bid league, that means you got to win the league and you got to win the conference tournament. You got to do all these things. And it intensifies the pressure on the non-con, where they should get about six games against quad one and quad two. The point is, they got to be good right out of the gate.
Right.
Right out of the gate
right.
This year.
And there's a reason why you're not, you know, you don't, maybe you don't see an ACC team in the top 20, because for years and years, the Cincinnati's of the world and the Houston's of the world, you saw them in a lot of polls.
And well, sure, but you had UAB as a top 10 team last year. You had Memphis as a top team last year. Yeah, like, none of them are in there.
Yeah, Memphis is a little surprising just based upon their head coach and the rep that he has and the rep that, you know, Memphis has. They always have great athletes, don't they? If nothing else, they may not win, but they've always got really good basketball players at Memphis. So I get your point, and I understand what you're saying. But, you know, it is a little bit of a concern because, you know, you want to get to that level where your games count. They mean something. And if your league is not being respected, then that can be a problem later down the road. But Wichita State, let's go things one at a time. You know, let's get through the preseason. Let's get into the season. Let's let these kids play together. Let's let them find their role. It's just like with regards to Corey Washington. He's going to find where he needs to fit in.
I think he fits in well, Paul.
I think he will. But you know, it's always interesting. You got to find that. You got to explore that. And you got to earn that, if nothing else. That's the main thing. You got to earn what you're doing. And I think he probably will. He's no stranger. I mean, let's face it. The MAAC is not a bad basketball league. It's not a bad league.
Peters has been a good program.
It's a good program. That's right.
I think there are going to be lots of different players who could step into that, you know, to that shot volume role. And we absolutely don't know yet until we see them play, until
Correct.
We see if Mate
Correct.
Is going to be able to play. But I do think with Washington, what really stands out to me is how much more of a role in the St. Peter's offense he took as a sophomore than he did as a freshman. On paper, that tells me that's a confident player to be able to do that, mm-hmm.
right?
And And so if you can take just – look, if Corey Washington came to Wichita State and just replicated his numbers from a sophomore at St. Peter's, that would help this team a great deal.
A lot.
I think what intrigues me the most is if there's that much growth between a freshman and a sophomore year, how much growth could we see between a sophomore and a junior year?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I do. And
if that happens, now they have and they'll have several, and they've got a lot of experience on this team. I'm bullish. You know, last year I was hesitant. This year I'm pretty bullish. I think the Shockers have got a pretty good team here.
Well, I think you're probably right. We'll see very quickly. And of course, you know, the overall, that, you know, the portal deal, people coming and going. And while there have been a lot of teams that have had a lot more movement than Wichita State, they're still, you know, these kids come together. We got to see how they play together. But, you know, you got to have confidence in Coach Mills. That's where you're basically at. If you have confidence in his ability to select players and bring them into Wichita, then you're probably in pretty good shape. I've got a feeling, and I can't base this upon anything. We haven't seen them play yet. We will see them play, and we'll really get a feel for it. And brother, will we be watching closely the first few games that the Shockers play? We'll be watching those games pretty closely, and then we'll start to get a feel for this basketball team. But somebody knows something, and that is being preseasoned at number 4 in this conference, which is a good basketball conference. It's a good basketball conference. Is it the AAC? No, it's the ACC. Or is it the
other way around?
Other way around. You get my point. But the point
is, in the AAC of past years, we don't know that yet either.
That's right. Well, that's true.
That jumps to the forefront in a top 25 that doesn't feature any of them. A great non-con from the league would go a long way. Mm-hmm. It has never been more difficult to see a top 25 and know how real it is. It's always fool's gold, right? Like it's in stone what we see in the top 25. Certainly, I think it's foolish, but it is a starting point, and I think it's important. I think it gives us a base level, at least, of expectations for the first little bit of the college basketball season, and then after 2 or 3 weeks, things sort themselves out, and we could see that, you know, some of these AAC teams are really good. But the AAC's got a problem right now that it gets poached, and now it has to become a league that does a good job of evaluating and poaching from, you know, leagues like the MAAC. So until we see this team play, you don't know. But what they do know, and what they've been pounding the pavement about now for, 6 months, Paul, is they have the most coming back in the league. And they like that. And we like that. But they still have to get better because, you know, that group and that year last year of all those players coming back wasn't good enough last year. So they still have to improve. They still have to get better.
Yeah.
And we'll see if they do. I think they will. I'm bullish. Can they win the league? I think that becomes the question. But I definitely think they can contend for it.
Yeah, and I'm bullish. I'm bullish right there with you. You're right. There's something about a group having played a year together. They come back together. That says something about them, doesn't it? That says something about this team. I want to be here. Because let's face it, in today's world, there's all kinds of opportunities to go to other places. All kinds of opportunities to go to other places. You just say the word and you get to go. And the fact is that this team has somewhat stayed together. That makes me bullish as well. Now let's see it translate onto the basketball court. Let's see, as you just said, are they better than last year? Because you're right. They need to be better than last year.
They got to fill that arena again, and that's the only way to do it.
And that is.
The IHOP hotline will be back open now for you the rest of the way. It is brought to you by IHOP. It's 869-1240. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. So that's back open for you, Shocker fans. You can react to the introduction there to Corey Washington. You can react to that through our video streams as well, Facebook, YouTube, X, and, of course, on 12 News Connected. I appreciate Corey and the folks there at Wichita State for setting that up last minute. We'll try to do that now. So we get Kevin Saul every other week. What we're going to try to do is have Paul Mills or a player join us on the other week of that to really get introduced and get locked into Shocker basketball coming. Paul, 11 days away from the exhibition, if you can believe it. On the way out here, let's set up our second text to win contest. This will be for some HTO.
Yeah.
You can win some free iced tea, more than 26 flavors. You can win some free rain coffee, iced or hot. Those will be available for you right now if you text the keyword T, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. That's T to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. I want to pick Paul's brain about what we saw out of Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Paul, you know, kind of follows the Cowboys, likes him a little bit. I want his take on that and what's been a, you know, Cowboys are good at one thing for sure, Paul, and that's staying in the headlines, good or bad. We'll hit that next on Sports Daily.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you on your way into work. I want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com. You can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage in here with you. Savage in for Tommy Caster, who will be back tomorrow. Max Power, producing force. Appreciate Mac hopping on. If you missed anything with Shreya Slada or Corey Washington, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. All right, Paul, I want to get your take on the situation with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Yesterday, Jones gets testy with local radio hosts and tries to tell him he's going to fire him if they don't ask the right questions. And he's clearly, you know, bothered and everything. Who cares? Like, he's not going to fire anybody for asking the wrong questions. Those guys who work for our sister station down there in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan, did a great job. They don't need to back down to Jerry Jones. I don't care if they do carry the Cowboys, just like we don't back down in our interviews, despite who we care. We're going to ask the questions that need to be asked because we owe a debt to the listeners for investing their valuable time with us, and we always appreciate it. So Jerry Jones can go fly a kite with all that stuff. but he deserves the criticism. And look, I think Jerry Jones, as a businessman, is probably the greatest owner the NFL's ever had. I think he's probably done more for the league in the modern era than any owner has. But on the field, he hasn't gotten it done. They haven't won more than one playoff game in any particular postseason in 30 years since they last won their Super Bowl, which was not his team to begin with. It was Jimmy Johnson's team. So he you can't set the expectations as high as he does, fall flat continuously, and not expect heat from everybody, mm-hmm. from everybody, including the local media who might just happen to carry your games.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
Because everybody wants to know the same thing. And it's what I've been screaming from the roof. This team had no chance. It was set up to
right.
fail
right
from the beginning. They didn't do anything to make a roster that was not good enough better. And they brought back the coach who has proven to you now several times that he can't get it done in a big game. So I just think as we look around the league at disappointments this season, there probably is not a more disappointing franchise to me than the Cowboys. And they're still going to win 8, 9, maybe even 10 games most likely this year. But it's not going to be enough. It never was going to be enough. And I keep seeing these headlines because the Jets, you know, did theirs. Who's more disappointing, the Jets or the Cowboys? I'm like, how is that a real question? Like, it's so much more the Cowboys to me than it is the Jets. The Jets, and I said this in the first hour, the Cowboys, the all-in comment from Jerry Jones in the offseason that he didn't follow up with, the Jets went all-in when they decided to go with Aaron Rodgers. He gets hurt. Then they go into this year. Rodgers and Saleh have a disconnect. Woody Johnson fires Saleh. They go trade for Devontae Adams. That's all in. Now, you want to talk about all in? That's all in. It probably won't work, but at least they're trying. What have the Cowboys tried to do on the field? Yeah, they paid CeeDee and Dak, but not before a big dramatic mess before it. And they didn't do anything. You know, they didn't do anything to help Dak be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right. And I want to point out the fact, let me start with this when it comes to Jerry Jones. First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for this guy. When he bought the Cowboys, I don't know if you remember this. You probably do because you're from Texas. You know everything that went on with that transaction. And that is Jerry Jones was a nice, comfortable millionaire. He had lots of money. He had all the money he could ever spend, but he wanted to own the Cowboys. He went into debt. He sold all of his assets. He sold everything. He borrowed a ton of money and bought the Cowboys. This is a true entrepreneur who put his own money at risk in order to build something that would be special. And the Cowboys, and little did he know that, you know, 30 years later, you know, his investment of a couple hundred million dollars going in debt and buying this thing would be worth, what, $3 billion? Probably $2 billion, something like that.
I think it's six.
Is it six? I've lost track of the billions. So there you go. So I have a lot of respect for him. However, there's a certain point that when it comes to being involved in personnel decisions and those kind of things, evaluating players, evaluating the job that coaches do, you may not know all you need to know. And obviously, Jerry Jones has been around the game for a long time, but he probably doesn't know what he needs to know to make these decisions. Now, let me just say this. There are several examples of owners being able to do that. Can I just throw out three examples that are pretty good? Curly Lambeau with the Green Bay Packers was pretty good. I think that we could also count on George Halas. He was really good at player stuff, and he owned the team, and he was really good at making those kind of decisions. I think to a lesser point, well, there's been Paul Brown was the same thing. He was an owner, but he was also personnel guy and all those kind of, and made great decisions on. But we haven't had many after that, have we? I mean, we've had some that dibble in it, and they, but they don't belong in the decision making process of a team like the Dallas Cowboys. That's a lifelong occupation that you have built to get to the point where you would be a decision maker for a team like the Dallas Cowboys. You'd know a lot. You know a lot of people. You know the game. You know what's going on, and that's why the great teams don't have the owners making all decisions. The Mara family with the New York Giants, they do the same thing to a certain extent. They're involved, but they're not making decisions.
Every owner's involved, Paul. Every owner has to sign the check.
That's right. They're involved.
It's
But who's making
the
decisions?
The Cowboys, when they couldn't – you remember when they were drafting Quincy Carter and Jerry Jones was doing all the wild and crazy things in the draft? Then they finally conceded and brought in a draft expert, and now all of a sudden they're one of the best drafting teams. Well, they always draft well now. But he won't give up. It's been his decisions on contracts that have always killed him. And look, I don't know how you look at the Cowboys, and I don't know what they're supposed to do with Dak Prescott, because he's good. He's not great. He's good. Is he good enough to win a Super Bowl? Not in the current state of things. But, you know, like, they just can't make up their minds. They should have blown this up and rebuilt 3 years ago. They can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in this purgatory. They've been in purgatory for 20 years, if not 30, for 20. And they don't ever push all their chips in, it doesn't seem like. And they had this incredible offensive line and this incredible opportunity in recent years. And I feel like the coaching has held them back a great deal.
Could be.
Jerry Jones is loyal, man. That's why sometimes he gives up bad contracts. He's loyal to his coaches. Again, those are all the things that make me like Jerry Jones. But at some point, if you're going to set the expectation as high as you have, then you got to win. And you really don't need to get mad at criticism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Like, don't get your feelings hurt about criticism.
Right.
Sit on your $6 billion. I don't have any doubt he does everything he can in his power and his brain to try and win football games, but get a little help with it.
The problem is,
it hadn't been good enough.
Most of the billionaires that I know don't like being wrong. They don't even like being told they're wrong. Now, they may be wrong, but they don't want to hear it from you. They don't want to hear it from
me. Well, most of the time, Jerry Jones does take that. Jerry Jones, historically, man, he does weekly media interviews. He is media friendly. Like, he does, and a part of that's by
that
design, right?
Yesterday.
To keep the Cowboys in the headline. But that wasn't the case
that
yesterday.
That was not yesterday.
That was not the case yesterday.
It almost got ugly. It almost got ugly, Jacob.
It did get ugly. It got uncomfortable. It got ugly. And look, I've been a part of those where it gets contentious, and you're like, where did that come from? And it's uncomfortable, and those guys handled it as well as you can handle it. But Jerry Jones has got to know, like, that's coming for you this year more than any other year, because you were the one that got out there and said, we're all in. And they weren't all in. They weren't all in.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Max still has that sound. Do you want that sound real quick from Jerry Jones?
Yeah, we can reset it for folks. Here's what we're talking about. We can play it back through what we heard yesterday from Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan, the Odyssey sports station down in Dallas.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are. Or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay? Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
It is their
job. And look. Jerry's going to Jerry. It is their job. He has done a lot right. I think they've done a nice job of rebuilding the offensive line quickly. We love that Cooper Beebe's there. But it was never going to be good enough this year. Never going to be good enough this year. Not going to be good enough this year. And I think that reality is setting in for everybody. It set in for me a long time ago. I'm talking zero expectations this year. And I am an optimist. People that listen to this show know that. I could have told you, long time ago, this team has no chance, none, to win a Super Bowl. And that's the reality setting in, and Jerry feels the heat on it. Can they next year? I don't know. We'll see, but it ain't going to happen this year, Paul. Mm-hmm. It's strange. And look, Jerry's been testy over the years. Like, none of this is it's just he knows how to stay in the headlines. Mm. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He knows how to, but I don't think that one was intentional. I think he really was mad.
Well, he's frustrated. No. He's frustrated. You know, the one common factor that billionaires also have that I'm aware of is they don't like to lose. They don't like to lose. But there are about 30 some different GMs, or I should say owners of NFL franchises, Somebody can't win at all. Somebody can't win. You're going to have half the teams winning, half the teams losing. That's just the nature of the way this thing works out. None of them like to lose. Their pride's in, you know, a lot of these guys, their pride is a part of this team. That's who they are. It's their NFL team. That's an identity for them. So I get Jerry Jones. There was a lot of frustration. Now, is that a one-time deal? I think it could be. I think it could be. You know, most of the time he seems to be fairly friendly, but, you know, he's under a lot of pressure for an 82-year-old man who is trying to pull the strings and trying to get this football team better. Maybe he's not pulling the right strings. I don't think he's pulling the right strings.
Well, nobody's going to fire him, Paul.
Well, nobody can. I mean, nobody's right. going to. I mean, he is a very, very, very powerful man within the NFL, within the state of Texas, within the city of Dallas. He's a very, very powerful man. Nobody's going to tell him anything what to do. You know, as far as I know, he doesn't have any co-owners of his football team. As far as I know, he's the one guy that owns the whole thing. He gets to do what he wants to do. But with that being said, these radio announcers and interviewers who are trying to get to what's going on, that's a natural ebb and flow for sports. You're up, you're down, you figure it out, but you still give interviews. Because you know what you got to do? You got to feel like you care. Yep. People got to know you care. And how do you do that? You do that through interviews that, you know, as long as everybody knows I'm doing my best, I'm going to continue to do my best, I'm going to make this team successful. And that's what these radio guys are trying to get out of him. What's on the agenda? How are we doing this? I think really and truly it was no more than that. But he took it the wrong way, and he's under pressure. He's under a lot of self-imposed pressure because his pride's on the line. Jerry Jones has pride. His pride is on the line. So I think these guys did nothing wrong. In fact, I thought they were pretty darn good in the way they handled it, Jacob.
They handled it fine. They handled it as good as you can.
That's what I
mean.
Think.
It was a weird situation. Those guys are pros, and they're not going to be worried too much about it. And you know what? Good for them. They're getting all the attention in the world.
Good.
You live and breathe for that kind of thing. You don't do it on purpose, but when it happens like that, boy, you just milk it for everything it's worth. They're going to get a lot of attention. Good for them.
Yeah.
Coming up tomorrow on the show, we will have our K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald on, our betting insider PJ Glasser on. So make sure you tune in for that. If you miss anything ever on the show, you can always go find it on the Odyssey app. Paul, you sent me something this morning. Now, I was not watching the Ohio State-Oregon game. I was doing other things, watching other things. I saw the Will Howard play at the end. I didn't realize what Dan Lanning did to help set that up, though. So as time was expiring, Ohio State faced third and long, very long, with very little time on the clock. They run a play. Last minute, Dan Lanning runs an extra defender out on purpose to get a 12-minute on the field penalty called. They don't pick up the yardage, but they get the penalty. But in that, I think it wasted 4 or 5 seconds off the clock. Then the next play was the Will Howard play where he slid too late, clock expires, they don't get their field goal opportunity. After the game, Dan Lanning talked about that being intentional, very intentional. They go over all of these specific details and situations, and clearly, if they faced that situation, they were going to try and milk some of that clock down by intentionally taking that penalty. They were afforded the opportunity in the game to do it. And quite frankly, Paul, what seems really smart, it wouldn't have mattered if it was 3rd and 4. If Ohio State picks up the first down, nothing really changes. Right, with the next situation that you set them up with, which is a shorter amount of time to try to get a playoff before you kick the field goal, increases your chances, right? Well, in this particular instance, it was good. Do you've coached for a long time. Have you ever been a part of anything where you intentionally take a penalty that you know will help you big picture?
Not that, but we've intentionally
Letting the clock expire on a delay of game or something.
No. I've not been involved in anything like that, but I have been involved in a play where you let another team score because if you try to go 2 or 3 down. I mean, we've let teams purposely score. I remember one time we were going to let a team score and they wouldn't score. So, right here. Here's a,
if you can give him the old ole.
Yeah, I said, what's wrong with you guys? Don't you want to? You know, they wouldn't bite. But I've been involved in that. But you know, this was really smart. I happened to be watching it live at the time, And it was kind of lost on me because I wasn't sure what was, you know, how that, you know, the whole thing. Turns out, here's the whole key for anybody who's curious about this, is that it was a live ball foul. It was a live ball, so the time runs off the clock. You know, you can't put it back on. That was a live ball. Turns out now that this has happened, and it's kind of an outrageous thing, and a lot of coaches and a lot of administrators are saying, this isn't right, guys. We can't do this. We cannot allow this to happen. So they're wanting to make, on certain situations, a substitution like Oregon made, a dead ball foul. So it'll be so no time can be run off. It'll be a dead ball foul. Well, I don't. I think that would probably take care of that. But you know something,
a lot of people change the rule. Paul, isn't it just a good? I mean, I guess the bottom thing, the big thing for me is Dan Lanning seems like he's really good at this.
Yeah, he's very good at this, and he probably's got one coach. And it's not like Dan Lanning is doing this himself. He's got a coach. He's got somebody. He might have a GA for all I know. And his job is to find these little things that we need to work on so that we, and somewhere along the course of a week or two, every other week or whatever it is, they work on it. They say, here's what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do this. You're my designated run in on the grass. You're going to be my 12th player. You know, this much like Texas A&M, 12th player. Which came in handy for Oregon, so this is all planned and it's all that. But you're going to see, I think, an effort probably this coming season in the off season. This rule is going to be changed. It's going to become a dead ball foul so that this doesn't happen. But on the other hand, I take my hat off to Dan Lemmy. He is playing within the rules. I mean, this is the rules, Jacob. I mean, there's nothing dirty about it. There's nothing that's unseemly about it. This is smart to me because you do what you can do inside the rule. Am I for cheating? No, absolutely. I would never cheat. I'm not cheating. This is not cheating. This was within the rules, the basic guidelines of playing football. So I have it tells me like you, this guy's a good coach. This guy takes care of all this stuff. You know, it was real interesting because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what's going on? I mean, I've watched a little football in my day, Jacob. I'm going to confess. I've probably wasted a lot of my life watching football on television. And I'd never seen anything like this quite happen with the way it was happening. I thought to myself, and then when Will Howard, went down with 0 seconds left, I thought, man, all he needed was one more second. His butt would have been down. They would have kicked the field goal. It would have probably been about a 48, 49 yarder after the pickup, maybe not even that far, and they win the game. Ohio State wins the game. But instead, because of the runoff, because of a dead ball foul for a 12th man on the field, it's not. I'll tell you what, I take my hat off to Dan Lanning. That was a heck of a stretching of what you do in coaching, because it was something else. Man, most coaches don't stretch that far out to become that good. But, man, what he did was totally legal, totally within the rules, and I take my hat off to the guy.
Yeah, it was impressive. Real quick, Paul, it's the Big 12 schedule this week in football.
All right.
As we're talking college football.
Sure.
We've talked K-State faces a really difficult challenge. They're only 3-point favorites against West Virginia on the road, but back-to-back road games, Colorado, West Virginia with Kansas looming. I think we can all see why that is. But if I look around the Big 12, here's what's wild about it to me. I look around the Big 12. There's one game, only one game that gets into a double-digit spread, and that's Iowa State at home against UCF. Every other game within the league is within 10 points on the spread.
Mm-hmm.
That really, like, and it's like this most weeks. This league is so top-to-bottom competitive. I think there are teams we thought would be good that are not as good, but there are teams that we thought would be bad that are much better than we thought. So this came up earlier in the week, whether or not K-State could lose another game and still get into the Big 12 title game. I don't think that they can. I think they're going to have only one loss. They've got a BYU problem right now and a problem that they don't play Texas Tech. Where do you stand with that? Do you think there's any wiggle room left for them when they play in a league as competitive as this?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I guess what you're asking me, is it important to win every game left on the schedule?
Of course it's important. What I'm asking you is it possible? Do you think it's possible in any world that they have two losses and still get into a Big 12 championship
game? You know, the irony of that question is there was a part of this summer when we were talking football before it ever even started, before the first game was ever played, we were talking about the Big 12 and how balanced we thought it could be. We thought there could be, you know, the champion going into the Big 12 tournament championship game could literally, you know, have 2 to 3 losses. And we were talking about that. Not the case right now. I think one loss is what you need to have to get into the title game. And I think that's just the way it's going to be.
One or zero, yeah.
One or zero. But one... It may be one because, you know, there's still a lot of – you know what? There's still, what, 5-6 weeks left in the season. There's going to be some people get beat up on this thing. And so, you know, I'm just saying what we see right now, that would be the case. I'm kind of with you if that's where you're at.
Yes, it is. And it's as much about, you know, yeah, maybe BYU loses a game. Maybe Tech loses a second game. But collectively – will there be enough teams with two losses? You know, that's where it gets a little bit challenging for me to see. And K-State's got a big test, man. I'm worried. You know, I was excited about the game at Colorado on this past week. I don't know that I'm excited about this game against West Virginia. Like, I'm really nervous about this game at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say excitement is an adjective that fits for how I feel about that game.
Yeah.
Listen, I hope, and I think they're capable of coming out and winning it by double digits, but man, you talk about a challenge. All the injuries they had within that Colorado game to have to go West Coast or West at least, and then back East, and then have Kansas looming and all of the things that can come. It'll be a challenge for some of these young players excited isn't the term for it for me anyway.
Well, that fear of West Virginia, we all thought they were going to be one of the lower rung teams,
and they are not.
And they're not. They're not a bad football team. So there you go.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, let's come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight. Speaking of K-State, you can hear some of their programming this evening. We'll tell you about it next as we wrap.
Mike Rowe here with a quick question.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.